an FBI SEAL spins into view.
Gentlemen, here's what we're up against. Romano Francis A., also known as Pops, alleged leader of the Romano crime family, with a network of racketeering, prostitution, and underground casinos polluting the tri-state area.
A snapshot appears of each mobster.
This is Paulie Romano, Pop's oldest son. He's popular with the ladies and good with a knife. Though Paulie seems to have those around him fooled, sources indicate he is functionally illiterate and has an inferiority complex, leading to unexpected outbursts of violence. Peter Romano, Pop's youngest son and the alleged muscle of the family, spent time upstate after a barroom incident. Though he hides it well, word is he's got deeply repressed homosexual tendencies, also leading to unexpected outbursts of violence. Leo Corrigan, Pop's right-hand man. He's our informant still inside the family circle. With the information we've received from Leo, we've finally got Pops Romano right where we want him.
Words appear in front of a large, imposing building, U.S. Federal Courthouse. Its doors burst open as Pops Romano and his lawyer emerge.
What we have here
is a modern-day witch hunt. The only thing my client is guilty of is having a vowel at the end of his name.
Oh, come on, Pops, what do you feel about spending the rest of your life in prison? Pops.
Pops holds his hands up as if to speak. He collapses. He's caught by his sons. Now, iron gates stand closed outside an opulent estate.
Stop that! Stop it!
A title, Corky Romano.
Get out of here.
Pop's two sons try to make him comfortable in his sick bed.
Hey, what's all this lying around crap? Get out of bed, you old faker.
But you got scotch in his IV, huh?
Leo, I'm getting old. I can't even remember doing half of the shit they're trying to pin on me.
Pop, the trial's in a week. I mean, they claim they got an airtight case. Names, dates, numbers, info on the whole organization.
Well, the only way they could get that is if they had an informant.
Nah, they must have sent some Fed in undercover.
Undercover? God damn it. Undercover. All right, they put somebody undercover. We'll put somebody undercover. To destroy that evidence.
Wait, we can't do that. I mean, who the hell are we gonna send? They got pictures and files on us and everybody we deal with.
They can't possibly know everybody.
Leo paces anxiously, then stops and snaps his fingers.
I got someone.
Can we trust him?
He's family.
Whoa, Leo, you're not talking about Corky.
Corky is dead for me.
Pops, you should have smothered him in his crib.
Face the facts, guys. There is no one else. Right now, he's our best bet.
The others all frown.
Well, the kid's gotta have at least one family gene in him.
Elsewhere, the boyish-faced Corky Romano dances in his seat as he drives a bright yellow convertible. An oncoming car swerves to avoid him as he giddily nods his head from side to side.
Watch it, asshole!
Corky has a Florida license plate that reads Corkster and a bumper sticker reading Free Hugs, One Size Fits All. He turns a corner in a residential neighborhood. Corky pulls his car into a driveway and gets out. He pulls a lab coat from the back seat and puts it on. His name tag reads, Corky, Assistant Veterinarian. Eyeing his reflection in a side view mirror, he covers the word assistant with his finger and smiles. Inside,
Poodles and Pussies.
A man drives a mobility scooter.
Corky. Hey, Dr. Kipper, how are you? Corky, things are a little slow around here today. I'm wondering, could you take over for me? I have a very important appointment with it's a dentist. Thanks, I appreciate it.
Dr. Kipper rides off with a bag of golf clubs on the back of his chair. Corky grins excitedly at the elderly receptionist who gives him a thumbs up. He approaches a woman with a cat.
Uh-oh. Someone's got the trots.
Corky, are you a mind reader?
No, I just saw some business in the parking lot and it looked fresh. And judging by the consistency and pigmentation, I could tell it came from a cat, probably a calico.
Hello, Mr. Langford, how are you? High five, Oscar.
He holds a hand up to Mr. Langford's dog.
Oh, let me guess, arthritis?
How'd you know?
I just saw him shifting his weight off his left paw, but don't worry.
We'll have him up and sniffing butts in no time. My God, Connie, your hair looks beautiful.
Oh, I accidentally threw it in a wash that had a red shirt in it.
Her hair is bright pink.
I see you brought Pierre.
Bonjour, Pierre.
Bonjour.
Oh.
He's our only reason for living.
I understand. He's one of the good ones.
I am here with my baby Jesus for his checkup.
Now Jesus's owner sets her pet carrier on a counter. It's stuffed with a mangy, obese cat. Corky flips through paperwork as she struggles to pull Jesus out of the pet carrier. A hard tug finally yanks the cat free.
Well, Mrs. Hernandez, we're going to have to put him on a little macrobiotic diet of seaweed and barley. Plus, you'll have to administer vitamins 6 times a day. Rectally.
Oh. Kill my baby.
Oh, no. You don't have to.
Please. He's lived long enough.
I just can't kill things, though. I just can't. I can find him a home.
No. Kill him.
Corky stares disbelievingly. He goes to a coffee pot, sloppily pours hot water into a mug, and drops a tea bag in.
You know, when I lose a pet, I like to pour myself a little sleepy time tea.
Do it!
She raises her eyebrows impatiently.
Okay.
He sets the tea down, then rummages through a drawer and pulls out a massive syringe. He accidentally squirts the cat with the liquid in the syringe.
I'm sorry.
He goes to a roll of paper towels. He grabs a messy handful. He bumps the lid off a snake terrarium as he brings the wad to the cat, then knocks over the cup of tea. Jesus jumps away. As Corky grabs for him, he knocks over Pierre's birdcage, then stumbles back and overturns some hamster cages. In the confusion, both the parrot and the snake escape. Corky starts tossing hamsters back in a cage. He presses a button on the phone.
Florence, little help!
Florence, the receptionist, is fast asleep. Back in the exam room, Jesus watches Pierre fly around with his one good eye.
Here he goes. Right there.
As Corky continues tossing hamsters back into the cage, the snake slithers unnoticed into his pant leg.
Pierre!
He chases after Jesus, who holds the parrot in his mouth.
Baby Jesus! Pierre!
The cat races into the waiting room.
Pierre!
Corky stops, unzips his fly, and pulls the snake out.
What are you doing in there? Come on, get out of there. Come on.
The calico's on. Elderly owner lifts her brow lasciviously.
You do go bukuto.
Putting the snake down, he races after the cat and gets into a tug of war trying to pull the parrot from its mouth.
Let go, baby Jesus! Let go!
Florence jerks awake and answers the phone.
Poodles and pussies!
Corky, you have a phone call.
Come on, I'm a little busy right now.
It's your brother!
He stops abruptly and looks at her with shock. Later, the wrought iron gates of the Romano family estate swing open, and a cab heads up the driveway. Peter Romano answers the front door. Corky stands there, grinning. Peter just stares at him.
Hug? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, come on, come on.
Corky gives him a big hug. Peter grimaces disdainfully. Corky finally lets go, and his brother eyes him uncomfortably.
How's Dad doing?
Not good. He's waiting for you upstairs.
Okay.
Inside the mansion, Corky runs into his lanky brother, Polly.
Hey, Polly. How are you? You look fit. What
the hell's that supposed to mean?
Nothing. We're gonna start over, okay?
He puts his hand out.
It's nice to see you, buddy.
Polly turns his behind toward him.
That was nice.
Corky.
Papa!
Corky grabs his suitcase and runs over to see Pops. He kneels by the side of his bed.
Hi, Papa. I brought you something.
As Pops and Leo exchange bemused glances, Corky pulls a book from his case.
Black Beauty by Anna Sewell. This is the very same copy that you and Mom used to read to me when I was sick.
Polly glances over in disbelief.
What is it, Papa? You want to say something?
You're kneeling on my ear tube, so
Oh my God, I'm sorry. I got it.
Corky knocks over Pop's oxygen tank, disconnecting the air tube.
I got it. This thing's slippery.
Polly throws Corky to the side and reconnects the air tube. Leo checks his watch.
Come on, Pops. This is ridiculous. Look at him. He should be wearing a helmet.
Corky, come here.
Corky kneels by the side of the bed.
I'm not going to lie to you anymore. I'm not a landscaper.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Get your head out of the sand, shit for brains. How many landscapers you know get paid in briefcases full of cash, huh?
Oh, you do some landscaping, though, right?
I dabble in money laundering, gambling, and the occasional landscaping.
Corky's eyes shift.
Now, look, son. I know you're not comfortable with the family business, but we don't have much time. I want you to go undercover as an FBI agent and destroy the evidence against me.
Pops eyes him seriously.
But I have animals that depend on me.
We'll send someone to fill in for you.
Corky stands.
Do you really think I'm the most qualified? I mean...
The consensus is that you're the least qualified. But your family.
Could I think about this?
What's to think about, Corky? Can't you see Pop swallowed his pride just asking you to do this?
When's the last time you lifted a finger for this family?
It's all happening so fast.
Wait. Let me talk to him.
Leo puts his arm around Corky as his brothers step away.
Look, kid. Think of this as your chance to make amends. You know you broke your pop's heart when you turned your back on the family business?
I didn't turn my back. They kicked me out after Mom died.
Irregardless, what matters now is your family needs you. What do you say, kid?
Leo gestures to Pops, who stares at Corky. In a room bordered with chain-link fence, Peter, Polly, and Corky stand behind a man with multiple computer monitors.
Polly, get another DUI you need fixed?
No, I need you to send something to the FBI. Can you handle that?
Peter, look who you're talking to. I've got a 120-gig hard drive and a digital connection NASA would envy.
Whoa! Is that one of those Epsons you could print greeting cards on?
Shut up, Corky.
Okay, tell me exactly what you need.
I need you to plant Corky here with the FBI station in Park Row. I need you to set him up with a fake background, fake name, and a resume, and it better be a good one. Because if they don't accept this transfer, I'm personally going to download 500 megabytes of my fist up your ass.
Technically, you'd be uploading that. Not that I'm a computer whiz or anything, because I'm not a person.
Do the right thing, Dexter. I don't want to have to key you.
Come on. Let's settle down, huh?
All right. What should his name be?
I really don't care what you call it, a pissant. Come on, guys.
Peter and Polly walk out. Corky follows, but stops by Dexter.
For my resume, I'm very good with animals.
Thanks.
In Polly's car.
If you're going to keep hanging out with us, could you at least try and carry yourself a little bit more like us, please?
Oh, you mean with unmitigated rage and violence?
Look, stop trying to talk like Mom, all right? You're too soft. You complimented the guy on his equipment, and then you thanked him for his time. I mean, Christ, Corky, might as well give him a glass of wine and a handshake.
Are you guys familiar with the expression, you catch more bees with honey than vinegar? You know that one.
Peter tweaks Corky's chest.
What is your problem?
Polly, where the hell is this place?
I don't know.
What place?
The motel.
But I thought I was staying in the house, in my old room.
You can't stay in the house.
Why not?
Well, a couple of reasons. Number one, the house is under surveillance. Number two, we turned your old room into a gym and threw out all your shit.
I thought I was gonna...
Peter smacks Corky.
Why did you do that?
Shut up.
Listen to your brother.
In the federal building, a glass door bears the FBI seal. A sheet of paper prints from a fax machine. It contains Corky's picture along with the words, transfer order regarding agency pissant. Outside, Corky, in a suit and tie, sits in the back of a car with Polly.
Pull down your pants.
No.
Corky, I'm not gonna give you a wedgie. I'm gonna put a wire on you. It's Uncle Leo's ID in case you get in over your head in there. Let's go. Put on your pants. Let's go.
Corky pulls his pants down. Peter glances back from the driver's seat. Corky squirms as Polly tries to attach the wire.
Come on.
Hey.
Come on. Come on. Knock him off.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Pants around his ankles, Corky sits up straight.
Move your hands.
Corky raises his hands, allowing Polly to attach the wire.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
All right, give me a sound check.
Polly puts headphones on. Corky leans toward his lap.
Go ahead.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star. How I wonder where you are.
All right, we're good. We're good. That's good.
B-I-N-D.
We're good!
Okay, okay. All right, now when you get in there, I want you to keep a low profile, and I want you prancing around like the goddamn Little Mermaid. In and out, no bullshit, got it? All right, you better walk the rest of the way.
You know what this kind of reminds me of? When I was younger, and Mom dropped me off at Camp Young and Chubby for overweight teens, and I was crying because I didn't want to go, but at the end of the summer, I was crying because I didn't want to leave. Isn't it weird how things just kind of work out that way?
Grinning, Corky takes his briefcase and exits the car.
$50 says he doesn't make it through the front door.
As Corky walks toward the federal building, his briefcase pops open. Papers spill out and the wind blows them around. He grabs at the flurry of papers, retrieving only a few. He closes his briefcase and continues on, leaving the rest of the documents behind. Inside, Corky walks through a metal detector.
Sir, spread your arms, please.
The security guard waves a handheld detector over Corky, arriving at his crotch.
Could you empty your pockets, please, sir?
Corky bends toward his crotch.
Pull me out!
In the car, his brothers listen with disdain. The security guard looks to his colleague, then back at Corky.
Empty your pockets, please, sir.
Corky sets down his ID, then fidgets with his colorful tie. The guard looks at Corky's ID. It reads C. Pissant, Special Agent.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize you were an agent. I didn't know you were with the Bureau.
Yes, I am with the Bureau. I'm sorry, I just, I had a little too much coffee. I'm just a little wired. I mean wired as in jumpy. I don't mean wired as in there's a concealed wire in my crotch. I mean an FBI agent wearing concealed wire in his crotch. I mean, that would be crazy, right? Right?
You can go now, Agent.
I will go now, thank you.
Corky grabs his briefcase. He bends toward his lap as he runs.
I had a small confrontation at checkpoint, but don't worry, I kept a cool head, and I eradicated any possible suspicions.
Two men in suits eye him.
Agent Pissant?
Corky stops and stands up straight, looking around.
Ah, yes, hi. That's a Pisson.
Well, your transport came through at an opportune time. We could use someone with your experience on our special task force.
Ooh, a special task force,
that's right. An elite team I've assembled, the best of the best, exclusively devoted to catching the Night Vulture.
Night Vulture?
Number 6 on the most wanted list. The biggest heroin supplier on the East Coast, not to mention the most sadistic. The last 4 guys that pissed him off ended up with their genitals severed. I asked the coroner about the weapon. He says there was none. That son of a bitch did it with his bare hands. I'm Agent Howard Schuster, station director.
Hi.
This is Brick Davis, senior agent, and my right-hand man.
Agent Pissant.
It's Pisson. It's French.
Davis is the best man in his field. Right now, he's about to take down the city's most dangerous crime boss. We're all but guaranteed a conviction.
That's just one down. By the time I've finished, the whole family will be in jail.
Just been reviewing your resume. Quite impressive. But a degree from Harvard and 3 commendations for bravery and an Olympic medal for sharpshooting won't get you out of the trenches. We need all hands on deck around here. Good day.
Good day.
Sir.
Schuster gives Corky's paperwork to Brick, then leaves. Straight-faced Brick glances up from the resume at Corky.
Nice tie.
Corky looks down at it.
Thank you.
It should give some lucky sniper a nice target to aim for.
Brick crumples up the papers and throws them in a trash can.
Probably, huh?
Brick walks off. Corky rushes forward, fishing the papers out of the trash. He smooths them out, eyes widening as he examines his resume. He looks up with a panicked expression. Now, Corky climbs into the back of his brother's car.
Let's go. Go, I want to go home.
What happened?
Have you seen my resume? It says I know 5 different languages, I'm an expert sharpshooter, I'm a black belt and something called gun something.
Sort of hacker went a little crazy. Yeah, none of this shit matters. Just go in there and get the evidence. Then you can go back to giving hamsters enemas or whatever the hell you do.
No!
Get in there.
No, I don't wanna.
Get in there.
No, I don't wanna let go.
Outside, Corky holds onto the door handle as his brothers try to pull him off.
Put me down. Put me down.
They let him go. Corky dives back into the car and climbs out the other side. They move toward him, and Corky climbs over the car as Polly tries to grab him. He shimmies underneath the car.
All right, forget about it, Polly. This is pointless.
You know what? We're going to have an ambulance standing by for when we break the news to Papa.
Peter opens his door, and Corky slides out from under the car.
Okay, I'll do it.
In the federal building...
I'm sorry, which way did the evidence from?
The guard points. Now Corky walks past a blonde, suited woman. She looks at him.
You must be Pissant.
Yeah, actually, that's, it's a Pisson. It's French.
I'm Russo, part of the Night Vulture Task Force.
Really?
They shake.
Hi.
He continues shaking her hand.
What'd you say your full name was?
Russo. Agent Russo.
What a beautiful, beautiful name.
Russo, Pissant, we need you. He struck again.
You're kidding. Who?
Night Vulture. Rival drug dealer was butchered and mutilated on 39th Street. Let's go.
Schuster walks off with Russo. Corky goes in the other direction.
Pissant!
Corky follows them. Outside, his brothers watch him drive by in the passenger seat of an SUV.
Where the hell is he going?
Corky waves giddily at them. At a crime scene...
Abrasions on left elbow, pooling of blood near torso. Victim was shot, mutilated, and dragged.
Flies swarm the body Brick examines.
No consistency of clumps, and bile stain on magazine caddy. Set time of death at 6 p.m.
Outside, cops interview two scantily clad women. Corky gets out of the car and walks toward the scene.
Hi. Hi. Hey, ma'am. How are you?
Inside,
hey,
Russo, Brick, and two other agents stand around the body.
Hey, do you guys smell that? What's going on? How are you?
Corky joins them.
Agent.
Hi.
He spots the body.
Oh, sweet Jesus! Oh, my God! Oh, God!
What is it? You got something?
What happened? Shouldn't we call someone?
He steps forward.
Oh, my God, what is this?
He looks at his shoe.
Is that his wiener? Shouldn't we have somebody put that back on? Maggots. That is so gross.
Maggots? Where?
Right there, in their larval stage.
Maggots take at least 18
hours. Wait a
minute.
Maggots take at least 18 hours to hatch.
You're right. Change time of death from 6 p.m. to before 12 p.m.
Good work, Agent.
Jackpot. Full kilo. Someone want to run this over to evidence?
Yes, I...
Corky grabs the drug package, then drops it.
Here!
He exits with the package. In the vehicle, Corky examines the clear package wrapped in duct tape. He lifts it to his nose. Behind the wheel, Russo gives him a sidelong look. Corky stops sniffing the package and smiles at her. They pull into a parking garage where the SUV comes to an abrupt stop. Corky's shades fly off.
We're here. Nice work, Agent.
Oh, thanks.
Fine.
Russo stares at him from behind her dark sunglasses, and Corky just smiles at her.
Oh, yeah. Well, we can't chit-chat all day, can we?
Holding the drug package, Corky awkwardly exits the car. He positions his mouth near a small gap in the window.
So, maybe I'll, see you sometime.
She speeds off. Corky walks up to a dog tied to a post, its water bowl out of its reach.
Hi! Hi, Poochie! Hi! Hi! What's the matter? What's the matter? Poochie can't reach the water? No? Poochie wants some water? Poochie thirsty?
He pushes the bowl to the dog.
You're a tough action police dog. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
The dog
yes,
bites down on the drug package.
Oh, no.
They each tug an end.
Come on. Give me the coke. Give me the cocaine. Come on. Come on. Come on. Let go.
The package breaks open in a huge cloud of white powder. White powder coats both Corky's and the dog's faces, their eyes unusually wide. They go back to normal. The dog runs away, tearing the pole his leash is attached to out of the cement.
Poochie!
Inside.
The evidence room, where?
The powder wiped from his face, Corky moves through a room with a jittery walk.
Agent Pissant, There's a group of second graders from the Junior Crime Fighters League in the auditorium. I want you to give them a few words on law enforcement.
Corky turns away.
Now?
He stumbles as he turns, then shakily walks past Schuster. In the auditorium, a woman stands before a group of children who sit in rows of chairs.
As a special treat, kids, we have a real live FBI man here to talk to us about what it's like to be a federal agent.
Corky steps up to the podium, fidgeting wildly.
Clapping's a little loud. Yes, question. You have a question?
You don't have a question? You don't?
It's kind of hot in here, isn't it? They're making pants tighter now, right? I don't know, because I don't wear jeans.
Yes, question.
I should buy a boat, don't you think?
No,
question.
The kids stare at him open-mouthed. The woman raises her brows as he looks at her.
Yes, you have a question. No? You do? You don't. You do? You don't. You do? You don't. You do? You don't. Oh, no, that's cool. You don't have to. No, you don't. Just do your own thing. I'm up here. You're down there. That's cool. Okay, so, yes? Yeah, I know.
A school newsletter reads, Agent vows to make recess safe from Night Vulture, along with a picture of Corky with his mouth wide open. At the Romano estate...
Who's this freak?
Disguised as repairmen, Brick and another agent watch the front door.
I don't know. Get a shot of him.
A view through a telephoto lens shows a mustached mailman in front of the house. Polly opens the door.
What the hell are you doing? They could be watching the place.
Yeah, I know. That's why I have a disguise on.
Corky wears a mailman outfit and mustache. Polly pulls him in. In a sitting room, Corky sits by Peter as Leo holds up a photo.
Who's that guy?
That's Schuster. He's the, director guy.
Who's next?
Leo pins up the photo and holds up another.
That's Brick Davis.
Is he the guy with the tan and the muscular thighs?
Corky and Polly give Peter questioning looks.
What?
Who are these two chuckleheads?
That's Cox and Darnell.
Hey, Polly, write up a card for Cox and Darnell.
Oh, come on, Leo. I'm absorbing here, you know?
You're just lazy. Make out a card.
Papa, I'm not lazy. I don't even got my reading glasses.
Oh, Jesus.
Is there anybody else?
Peter looks through photos.
No.
I thought I saw a chick. Yeah, here it is.
A picture of cleavage.
Well, good, that does us.
I was a little distracted.
Well, get undistracted, dipshit. This is crunch time.
Sorry. Hey, Pop, relax. Okay, next time I'll take care of the pictures.
Later.
All right, I want you to head straight for the evidence room so we can just end this shit today. You got it?
Got it. Keep the engine running, because I'm going right in and I'm coming right back out, so you guys keep it running.
Corky leaves the car. Peter resumes taking pictures of random men. Inside the federal building, Corky breezes through security. He enters the office to find Russo.
Hi. What you doing?
She ignores him.
I brought you something.
Great.
He pulls a rolled-up paper from his briefcase.
It's just a little something to get you through the day.
He unrolls a poster that reads, "You don't have to be crazy to work here, but it sure helps."
It's funny, because it's true.
She eyes the poster and offers a brief smile.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have to go now.
Okay.
Later, Corky repeatedly runs his card through an ID scanner outside a metal door. Before Corky can enter, Brick comes up behind him.
Ni hao ma.
He blocks Corky from leaving.
Ni hao ma.
Yes, I know.
It's Mandarin for hello. I spent some time in China myself. You do speak Mandarin, don't you? It's on your resume.
Yeah. No, I just spoke it this morning. I was just thrown off by your dialect. I was actually taught the language by an upper class family. Studio.
You think I'm stupid, don't you?
Oh.
Listen, you little punk. I'm on to you. I don't know how you got this far, but you can't bullshit your way through the FBI. You better watch your back. You got that? You got it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good. Come on, Schuster wants to see us. It's about the Night Vulture.
In a conference room, Corky swivels his chair.
This group of neo-Nazi skinheads is moving black tar heroin for the Night Vulture. They could be the vein that leads us to the motherlode. The Night Vulture himself.
Corky pours a glass of water and pushes it across the wide table to Russo.
Passant, I want you to go in and make a buy.
Corky sits back down in his seat.
Great. But don't you think you might be, wasting my talent on something this simple? I mean, why don't you get Agent Cox and Darnell? I mean, they seem like really sweet guys.
We need a pro. You will carry out this assignment. That is all.
Corky smiles nervously as everyone gets up to leave. Later, a pastel-colored truck drives down the street.
Take down your pants. I'm gonna tape this wire to your crotch.
In the back of the truck, a bald cap is roughly stretched onto Corky's head.
Oh, no, we can't do that, but thank you.
Why not?
I have very, very sensitive gonads. All the men in my family do. My grandpa back in World War II is nicknamed Old Cotton Balls. So.
I don't want to hear any more about your family's balls.
Okay.
We'll tape it to your chest. Cox, give me a razor. We'll shave them.
In a junkyard, skinheads drink and lift weights made of used parts. Corky watches nervously from around a corner, wearing a bulky black jacket and a fanny pack with a swastika. Brick, Cox, and Darnell listen from inside the truck. Corky approaches the skinheads without the jacket on. They put down their weights. Corky's wearing a girl's tank top.
Howdy.
What do you want, bitch?
I just thought that I can get some heroin and then maybe we can all go out and commit some hate crimes and stuff.
A skinhead rips Corky's tank top, revealing the wire. Corky tears it off. In the truck, the agents remove their headphones.
Lost transmission.
Are we going in?
No. Pissant's been in this situation before. I'm sure he can handle himself.
I've only been with the FBI for like 2 days.
He sits between two skinheads. His brothers listen from their car.
Take him to the warehouse at Pier 7.
In a warehouse, Corky has jumper cables attached to his chest.
You know, bad dogs aren't born, they're made.
A skinhead throws a switch, and electricity sparks between the clamps. Corky frantically blows flames out on one of the clamps. Peter, Polly, and three of their thugs pull up outside the warehouse. They grab bats and metal pipes out of their trunk, then head inside. The five men enter the warehouse, brandishing their weapons. Peter whacks a skinhead with a bat.
Oh, no!
Polly knocks a gun away from a skinhead as one of the thugs slams a bat into another. Tied to a chair, Corky can only watch. Polly knocks one of the skinheads through a window, tossing his weapon after him. In an office,
he must have disengaged his own wire and left with them. As soon as it went to static, we went in, but they were already gone.
Sir, you have a call.
Not now.
But, sir, it's Agent Passant.
In the warehouse, the dog licks Corky's face.
Hey, guys!
Schuster, Brick, and other agents enter.
My God, Passant. Did this all by yourself?
Several bodies lie on the ground. The dog continues to lick Corky. A newspaper headline reads, FBI one step closer to Night Vulture. Crime, Superfed takes down skinheads. Later, Corky walks into a room full of agents.
Hey, it's Passant.
Hey!
He abruptly turns away and stiffens. Breaking into a smile, he turns to face them.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go tinkle.
He turns and leaves. Outside the metal door, Corky swipes his card through the scanner. He hurries into the evidence room. Shelving units full of items fill a barred area. He puts his briefcase down and begins searching the shelves. He knocks over bottles of pills. He roots through a box with envelopes marked secured evidence before moving on. He finds an envelope marked Pops Romano evidence file and stuffs it inside his briefcase.
Passant!
He drops his briefcase as he sees Russo.
Hi! I was just gonna go find you and say hi.
Hi. What you got?
It was recovered at the apartment. The only hard evidence we have against the Night Vulture.
She holds a watch in an evidence bag.
Fingerprints all over it, but we haven't been able to get a make.
Corky awkwardly rests his elbow on a shelf, accidentally knocking down some boxes.
That Night Vulture guy.
She looks at him quizzically.
I'm gonna do some young Muquan. Would you like to join me?
In the FBI gym, Corky and Russo wear workout clothing. He watches her make various martial arts poses.
You don't fit the profile of a typical Fed.
What do you mean?
It's nothing bad. It's actually refreshing.
I'm just doing this FBI thing to pay some bills before I get to my real career.
And what's that?
I'm going to be a licensed veterinarian and own my own animal hospital.
How sweet.
Thanks.
She punches the air.
Kya, kya, kya!
She faces Corky.
I'm going to try the Tang Soo Do. Ready?
Yeah.
Neem!
She hits him in the crotch. In their car, Peter and Polly wince. Corky collapses briefly, then bounces back up.
Look, you don't have to go easy on me.
What?
See, this is what I'm talking about. Every man here is afraid to go full contact with me. I'm not a Barbie doll. Now, come on! Hit me.
417 in progress. Let's go.
Oh, gotcha. I'm gonna go get my thermos.
Didn't you hear him with 417? Come on!
Corky follows, leaving his briefcase. Outside a bait shop, a man holds a guy at gunpoint.
Back!
Situation?
Night Vulture suspect, heavily armed. He's got 7 hostages in that building.
Demands?
None?
I'll go get my rifle.
Wait. Your son's a ace in a hole. You know the drill. Take him out.
Schuster hands Corky an assault rifle. He looks around nervously before giving a firm nod. Corky rests the rifle on a car and takes aim. He peers through the gun sight to see he's pointing it at another agent.
Sorry, I was just lining up the shot.
He attempts to casually lean on the car, then abruptly points the rifle elsewhere.
Hey, Nash Bridges, you got the safety on.
Everyone dives for cover as the automatic gun fires uncontrollably. A dachshund leaps out of a bystander's arms. Corky drops the gun as it's still firing. A bullet hits a large tank of propane gas, and the tank explodes. The blast throws both the gunman and the dog into the air. Agents with guns drawn rush toward the shop. As the smoke clears, Corky spots something.
Man down!
The dog lies on its back.
I'll cover you.
Corky and Russo race to the dog. Corky pulls off his jacket with a panicked expression.
A dog. What are you doing? It's dead.
Corky takes a wad of chewed gum from his mouth.
Here, hold this.
He puts it in Russo's palm.
This looks like a collapsed esophagus. I've seen Dr. Kipper fix one of these before.
Fix what? Who's Dr. Kipper?
Think, Corky, think.
He bends down, puts the dog's nose and mouth into his own mouth, and blows.
Okay, you've just been in an accident, but you're gonna be all right, okay? Now run along, run along, run along, run along.
The dog gets up and runs off.
That was amazing.
What was amazing?
What you just did, you just saved that dog's life.
Corky takes his gum back.
Miss Ann. Talk to you for a second? Yeah. Sure.
Brick puts his hand on Corky's shoulder and leads him away.
Listen, how'd you do that? That was really something.
Yeah?
Yeah. How did you... Listen, you little shit. You put my life on the line, as well as every other agent out there. Now, first chance I get, I'm gonna send you straight to hell. You got that? Hello, sir.
Hassan, what the hell is going on here?
Sir. It wasn't me. It was the gun. It was all funky.
What the hell are you talking about?
Sir, I think what Agent Passant's trying to say is that the perp's gun was a fake. And he's right. Look.
Agent Darnell pulls the trigger of the gunman's weapon.
Passant, You're a cowboy, but you've got to keep the team up to speed. We're not used to an agent with that kind of passion and attention to detail.
Oh.
Rick storms off.
I will do my best, sir.
Cox hauls over the suspect.
Hostages are safe and accounted for.
This clown is not the Night Vulture.
Should I take him in?
No, no, no. Let Passant do it. It's his baby.
Corky makes a call from the driver's seat. The perp bangs his head into the grate that separates them.
Poodles and pussies.
Florence, hi! How's Cousin Tony working out?
Just fine. In fact, profits are up 150%.
What do you want?
Can he help JoJo? I think he's sick.
A boy sets down a plastic cage.
Yeah, sure, kid. I'll fix him right up for you.
Cousin Tony takes the cage with the dead white mouse into the back. He drops the dead mouse into the trash, then takes a healthy white mouse from a cage. He puts it into the boy's plastic cage and brings it out to him.
See, kid? JoJo's all fixed up. He just needed a new liver.
How much?
What do you got?
Well, keep up the good work, okay? I'll be back lickety-split. Bye now.
Corky reaches toward the radio. The perp begins headbutting and kicking at the metal grate again. The grate jerks with every blow. Corky pulls up to the federal building and gets out. After closing the door, Corky sees the keys in the ignition. He pulls on the door handle, but it's locked.
Sir, could you be a sport and open the door for me, please, sir?
The perp spits on the window.
Okay, I see.
The perp resumes kicking the grate. Corky slips his arm through the slightly cracked window, the ignition out of his reach.
Sir, can you please not do that? Sir, please don't do that. Come on.
The grate breaks free and falls onto the gas pedal.
Come on, sir.
The perp kicks the gear and the car reverses. His arm stuck in the window, Corky runs backwards to keep up. Corky leaps onto the front of the car and holds on as the perp drives them backwards with his feet into oncoming traffic. Corky grabs the wire in his pants.
I got a little problem here. If I can get some
help. Peter and Polly's car sits unattended as they get ice cream from a truck.
Let me get a cup of the rum raisin then, please.
We don't have rum raisins, sir. All our flavors are listed on that sign.
It reads vanilla, chocolate, strawberry.
All right, let me, if you give me up a cup of the Rocky Road there then, please.
Hey, Polly, come on already!
Polly turns to Peter in the car.
Shut up!
I don't know where you guys are.
All right, just give me a cup of the pistachio there.
The signs.
What are you looking at, panty waist, huh?
You suck! You suck, suck, suck!
The keys are right there. If you could just turn it off the car!
Corky clings to the hood of the car, which swerves across the street and backwards into a parking lot. It continues to drive backwards over the concrete parking dividers. The car narrowly misses a couple as it reverses out the lot.
Get off of my car!
Don't put the...
The windshield wiper hits Corky's face. The car crashes into a gray sedan. Corky flies through the air and hits the ground. Brick, Cox, and Darnell rush over. As Corky gets to his feet, Polly emerges from the gray sedan.
What the hell is the matter with you, dumbass? You nearly got us killed. What are you,
hold
retarded?
Huh? What happened? You okay?
Is everybody okay here?
Oh, I'm fine.
You okay, sir?
I'm in control. Just a little...
All right.
Polly gets back into his car. Brick leans down to his window.
What are you doing here?
Polly ignores him.
All right, out of the car.
Come on, let's do it. Assume the position.
Go. Come on!
A crowd of bystanders gathers nearby.
Against the car.
While Cox and Darnell frisk Peter and Polly, Rick notices the surveillance gear on one of the seats.
What the hell is all this stuff?
I'm helping my cousin move.
Okay, boys, tear this Dago wagon apart. Leave no seat unslashed.
Hold it!
Corky holds out his arms and everyone turns to look at him.
What?
This guy just called me a dork.
He points toward his brothers.
No, he didn't.
No, yeah, he did.
I don't think he did.
I read his lips.
This guy?
Darnell points to Peter, who leans against the car. Corky strolls up behind him.
It's me, Corky. Hi.
Peter shakes his head in disbelief. Corky turns Peter around to face him, then looks back to see Brick watching them closely. Corky faces his brother confidently.
On the ground.
Both of you.
Peter raises an eyebrow. Peter and Polly slowly get to their knees as Corky smiles.
All fours, all fours.
They get on all fours.
I got a little gift for you. Sorry I didn't have time to wrap it.
Corky bends over in front of Peter. Corky's face strains and a vein bulges in his forehead.
Piss in. Take it easy. People are watching.
Corky ignores him and strains even harder. Cox and Darnell awkwardly avert their eyes. Corky remains bent over, his face reddened as he grits his teeth. Brick looks away. Corky's eyes water as he tightly clenches his face. He jumps around to face his brothers.
Yeah! Sniff that one, ass clowns!
Hey, Passant, relax, man. I mean, technically, they didn't do anything wrong.
Get out of here!
They stand.
Rawr!
What the hell are you doing?
Look, Davis, you're too soft.
Corky walks off, leaving Cox and Darnell stifling laughter. Brick frowns at them and they straighten.
Sir.
At the Romano estate, Corky holds stacks of videotapes in a bike messenger disguise.
I'm sorry!
Move it! Ow! Move it! Ow!
Inside, Peter and Polly throw him to the floor.
You're lucky there were no chicks watching.
Now, did you at least get the evidence?
No, I don't have it.
Polly throws his hands up.
You don't understand. I am so close that I can taste it.
Where is it?
I left it in the gym.
Please, Corky, what if somebody finds it?
No, it's okay. It's in my briefcase. It has my name. Darn it.
I ain't telling Pop. I mean, the hospital says he's getting worse.
They're sending a wet nurse over here, Petey. I think you mean registered nurse.
Oh, really?
Is that what you think, Mr. Educator? So now I'm the stupid one, huh? Let me tell you something, Corky. When you was in vegetarian school, tugging llamas, I was running numbers for Pops. You understand me? Get out of here.
Out!
And don't you come back. Do not come back without the evidence. You hear me?
All right, I'm going.
Get out of here.
They fling videotapes at him as he leaves.
Evidence!
Get out of here!
Hi, Corky.
Later, in the federal building, Corky walks through security. He hurries into the vacant gym, frantically searching the contents of a duffel bag on the floor. In front of a row of lockers, Corky looks on and under benches, finding only bags and a towel. He rushes toward a black bag, emptying its contents.
Looking for this?
Brick holds out the briefcase.
I can explain.
Explain it to Schuster.
Okay.
As Corky tries to walk past, Brick grabs his arm.
How about now?
Now's good.
Passant, we need you ASAP.
Not now. We're busy.
This is priority. There's a major heroin buy going down in Chinatown. We think the Night Vulture is supplying.
No, that's a waste of time. Now get back to the planetarium like I told you. It's a virtual who's who of Night Vulture suspects.
Sir, I don't know who your source is, but we've been to the planetarium and it's on the level. Nothing but field trips and old women.
Exactly. The Night Vulture's a chameleon. It's just the kind of place that a sadistic son of a bitch like that would call home.
Sorry, sir. This is direct from Schuster. We're going to Chinatown and we're taking Passant with us.
Corky breaks free from Brick's grasp and turns to Cox and Darnell.
What's up, guys?
The seller's from Vietnam. The buyer's from Thailand.
Sounds cool. Where do I come in?
You translate.
Cox and Darnell turn to leave. Corky's mouth hangs open.
Perfect.
In a Chinese restaurant, Corky sits at a table with a man in a leather jacket and another with a mustache. Cox and Darnell stand nearby as the mustached man leans toward Corky. Subtitles, are you ready to begin? Corky just stares at him.
What did he say?
Corky's face twitches nervously.
He said that you have very kind eyes.
He looks back at Darnell.
Tell him I said thank you.
Corky turns back to the mustached man, squinting as he purses his lips. Harry Pencil. The man's eyes widen.
What?
Have we begun negotiating yet? Have we begun negotiating yet? Why do you speak of Harry Pencil? What did he say? I thought you were the translator. Corky responds, you translator? I will not be taken for a fool. I will not be taken for a fool. The mustached man slams his hand down. Fool. The mustached man pulls a gun, so I am a fool, am I?
What is going on?
The man in the leather jacket pulls out his gun. What did he say? What did he say? Corky repeats him. You sobbed like a little girl. Now you will die like an animal. The mustached man aims at Corky. Corky dives under the table. He yells into his crotch. Peter and Polly's car is parked outside a strip club. Inside, the brothers sit by the stage, drinking. A stripper moves out of the way, revealing a male bartender.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Peter smiles at the bartender. In the Chinese restaurant, feathers and chickens fly through the air. Corky crawls on the floor. Cox and Darnell exchange gunfire with the two men. The man in the leather jacket escapes up a staircase. The mustached man crashes to the ground near Corky. Cox and Darnell look at the staircase.
They both got away.
Corky raises the mustached man's foot.
No, Basant got one.
Outside, Corky faces Cox and Darnell.
You just reminded him of this horse thief he once knew, and I defended your honor. And he grew angry.
You got a cool head, man. Going down to your knees and crying like a little girl? That was great.
Actually, that's something I learned from our friend the possum. It's a tactic he would use to thwart off his enemies.
We'll back you up anytime, Sant.
Mm-hmm. Call me Corky.
My name's Terrence.
Hey.
They shake hands.
I'm Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Say, you guys want to get an Orange Julius or something?
We can't. Rick is sending us to collect evidence on some underground casino.
Do you guys know where Kate is by chance? She'd probably get a kick out of this whole thing, don't you think?
She's gone.
What do you mean gone?
Well, you know we're not at liberty to discuss that.
Yeah, I know. She didn't by chance, like, leave a note or a joke or, like, a little poem or something by chance, did she?
Nope. See ya.
Schuster and Brick walk over.
Basant, give me one good reason I shouldn't can your ass right now for breaking protocol with that Romano file.
Sir, I just wanted to get a closer look at the file and lend my expertise, sir.
You don't walk in and take evidence. You fill out an X-74. And then you get it approved by a superior. You got that?
Sir, the bottom line is, because I got so excited, I forgot to follow procedures, but I do take full responsibility for my actions, sir.
Schuster glances at Brick before looking back at Corky.
Basant, you're an honest man. That's a rare quality in this day of buck-passing. I kind of admire that.
Oh, what the hell? He just confessed to breaking protocol.
At least he had the guts to admit it. We can all take a page out of Passant's book. Good day.
Schuster walks away.
Hi.
Brick glares at Corky, then walks off. An FBI memo reads, effective immediately, Agent Corky Passant will replace Agent Brick Davis as team leader. Brick's eyes narrow as he looks up from the paper. He crumples it in his fist. Now, Corky is disguised as a scout.
Hi. You guys want some cookies?
He enters the Romano mansion, where a nurse in a revealing uniform is tending to Pops.
I'm sorry, you guys.
What is it, Corky?
I couldn't get the...
Sweet Jesus!
The nurse is Russo.
Dios mio!
What is she doing here?
It's Esperanza, Dad's new nurse. Don't worry about her, Corky. She don't speak a word English.
How do you know my name?
What?
Corky.
You said that name again!
Why are you freaking out?
I'm gonna go, make some toaster strudel for everyone. Anyone? Well, everyone wants? I assume everyone wants one.
In a hallway, Corky stands with his arms crossed. He motions as Russo hurries toward him.
What the hell are you doing here?
What the hell are you doing here? Why are you dressed like that?
I just came from a Girls of America meeting, and I sponsor one of the girls, and it's traditional that you wear these outfits at the meetings. Look, I don't have time to talk about it, okay? What the hell are you doing here? Answer my question.
I realize no one's gonna just hand me a good undercover case, so I made Schuster send me in here to collect more evidence. What about you?
I'm undercover, too.
That is so typical. Schuster gave me his word that he wouldn't send a man to cover me.
No, I was just here first. That's why I'm here now.
How come Schuster didn't say anything?
He doesn't know.
You're undercover without clearance or backup? That's insane!
I know, it's crazy, isn't it? Look, This area is totally covered. You can back off now.
No, I worked hard for this. You back off.
Look, I don't have time to fight with you. I don't want you to get hurt.
I don't need you to protect me.
Fine.
Fine.
They look into each other's eyes, their noses almost touching. Corky looks at her with a sultry expression. Russo purses her lips, her eyes closed. Their lips are about to meet.
He said, Julie, baby, you're my
Her lips still pursed, Russo opens her eyes as Corky runs away. He plods into the sitting room as Polly slams a phone down.
Can't believe this shit.
What happened?
Down at the casino, they caught a couple of chumps with hidden cameras.
Who are they?
A couple of your little FBI buddies.
Corky looks at two photographs pinned to the board. In Pop's room, Russo sits on the edge of the bed.
Black Beauty.
Black Beauty.
You know, I read this book to my son. Now you try reading it. Go ahead. I'm going to help you.
The morning?
Very good. Sound it out. Sound it out.
Polly downs a drink as he watches them.
Ink.
In the city at night, a line of people waits behind a velvet rope outside a brick building. In a suit, Corky gets out of a cab. A female bouncer in a white blouse and gold pants stops him as he tries to enter the club.
Whoa. Where do you think you're going?
Dinner to the underground casino. I heard you have excellent craps, and I'm in a crappy mood, so...
You can't go in there.
Says who?
A little person in sunglasses steps out.
Lady said beat it! Understand?
No. Yes, sir.
That's a good little bitch. A bounce's jive-ass fool.
Corky is thrown into a dumpster and the lid closes on him. He lifts it back up.
It's gonna take a heck of a lot more than that.
Corky runs up the fire escape, examining a door before continuing to a higher floor. He stops outside a window and waves, smiling brightly. Corky's face falls as he sees Cox and Darnell unconscious. They are tied up with gags in their mouths. He tries the window, but it's locked. He climbs a ladder onto a roof and slips headfirst through the open window of a room, falling clumsily to the floor. He grimaces as he grabs his nose. He grabs panties from a hamper and holds them to his face.
You pervert!
What?
A woman storms over, spraying him with mace. He stumbles to his feet, crashing into a rack of clothes. She continues macing him as he fumbles behind the rack. Corky runs into another room, closing the door behind him. The woman pushes on the door from the other side. Corky manages to close the door and lock it. Corky covers his eyes. He reaches out blindly and tears a white shirt off a woman, revealing a red bra underneath. He wipes his eyes and opens them. The female bouncer stands before him in her bra.
You again.
She grabs him by the crotch and hurls him over her head. Corky crashes to the ground. Corky offers a pained smile. The blonde bouncer steps up onto the couch and hurls herself down toward him. As Corky rolls out of the way, the little person kicks open the door. Corky leaps to his feet. The little person removes his sunglasses and rolls his neck around. He runs rapidly in place and slaps his face before launching himself at Corky. He leaps into the air and kicks Corky in the face a few times until they fall to the ground.
Let's introduce him to Shaky.
He removes a can from a paint mixing machine.
Get in there.
They strap Corky's head to it.
Hey, come on, you guys. Someone's gonna get hurt.
As it's turned on, it lifts Corky into the air and shakes him violently. Corky's wallet hits the man in the face. He looks at Corky's ID and his eyes widen. He shows it to the bouncer. He turns the mixer off.
Sorry, Mr. Romano. I had no idea you were with the family.
Don't worry about it. You guys are just doing your job.
Is there anything I can get you?
But if it's okay with you, maybe I can take my friends with me?
That's another one we owe you, Corky.
Yeah, what a waste. You should have been helping me catch the night vulture. You could, just don't tell the guys in the department.
Mum's the word.
Corky shakes uncontrollably. Back at the Romano estate, Russo sneaks into the sitting room, closing the door behind her. She walks to a shelf of books and examines them. Russo starts as the top windows open and Corky peeks his head over.
Why are you still here? It's 3 a.m.
I'm 11. That's what the informant arranged.
Corky climbs through the window.
Informant? What informant?
Corky loses his grip and falls on Russo. Peter opens the door to see his brother lying on top of her. They look up at him. Russo jumps up.
Qué malvado. Soy una señorita.
What? I don't know what that was.
After Russo's gone, Peter strolls up to Corky, glancing in the direction Russo left. A smile grows on his face as he steps up to his brother.
You tomcat and son of a bitch. I had no idea you were such a ladies' man.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's only been here 2 days. You already pounded her. I was thinking about making a move on her myself, but, you know, I can get another broad.
Say, Pete.
Peter turns back to face him.
I haven't seen you with a woman in a long time. In fact, I don't think I've ever seen you with a woman.
Well, you just haven't found the right fill yet, that's all.
Do you remember when we were kids and how we watched that Christmas special about Rudolph and how Rudolph knew he was secretly different from all the other reindeer? And then, you know, Rudolph tried to hide it, but that just, you know, ended up making Rudolph angry and scared. And then he met Hermie the elf, remember? And
he didn't like to make toys.
And, but that actually made Rudolph feel like it was okay to be different.
Peter eyes him quizzically.
Do you remember that?
I don't have time for this shit.
On an FBI computer, a grainy photo of Corky dressed as a mailman at the Romano estate appears in a photo editing program. The user draws a box around Corky to zoom in. Brick examines the photo, his eyes narrowing as it enhances. Elsewhere, Corky walks toward the evidence room. Schuster steps into his path and points down the hall.
Come with me.
Corky follows. Now he stands nervously in Schuster's office with Brick.
Agent Davis just brought this to my attention. You want to explain that?
He shows the picture of Corky as a mailman.
Kind of looks like me, doesn't it, little...
Because it is you, Judas. Right in the belly of the beast. Looks like Mr. McFeely here has been sleeping with the enemy.
He lifts Pop's evidence envelope.
Don't you see, sir? He's been stealing evidence for the family the whole time. It's not gonna happen.
He puts it in his own briefcase.
I'm gonna make sure of that.
Brick crosses his arms.
Passant, is this true?
Corky looks at the picture and grins.
No, this isn't me, it's some postman.
It's you.
It's not.
It is too.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
It's not.
It is you.
Isn't.
Yes, it is you.
It's not me.
Yes. Knock it off, Davis. Corky deserves a chance to explain himself.
Knock it off? You know, this buddy-buddy shtick between you two is really starting to wear thin.
What are you talking about?
You know damn well what I'm talking about. Pissant this and pissant that. Hey, I got an idea. Let's send Pissant. Well, I'm sick of hearing about Pissant. When's the last time you talked about me? When's the last time you congratulated me on a hostage negotiation situation? Or said, hey, Davis, bang up job on that wiretap? Hmm? It's like I don't even exist.
That's not true.
Yes, it is. The other day, I wore my badge on the outside of my left lapel just to see if you'd notice. Did you notice? No. I got nothing.
I'm sorry. Maybe I was a little bit busy.
Yeah, talking about how great Pissant is.
Cox and Darnell enter wearing colorful ties.
Hey, Howard. Wanted to see us?
Howard? What happened to Sir? It's Mr. Schuster. And what is with those ridiculous ties? It's this jiggling little fruitcake, isn't it?
Christ, relax, Brick.
It's Agent Davis.
He's right. Relax, Brick.
Corky's eyes shift to Brick.
I'm sorry, Howard.
That's Agent Schuster.
Oh, what? I can't call you by your first name because I'm not a member of the Groovy Tie Squad?
No, it's because you're an asshole.
I am not.
Yeah, you are. Everyone thinks you are.
including your wife. Why do you think she left you?
They all turn their heads toward Brick.
Her job relocated her to Paris.
Bullshit. Right now she's up at Kenny Bungport getting poked by some lobster fishermen.
Brick launches himself at them. In the melee, Brick's briefcase falls to the floor. Corky grabs it and runs out. In the Romano kitchen, Russo prepares food. Corky pulls her away.
Jesus, Corky, you scared me.
Why are you still here?
I'm not leaving until I get the old man on tape talking about murder.
Murder? I thought we were trying to get him for gambling or tax evasion, things like that.
No, that's nothing. We want to put him away for life.
Corky looks down, wearing a worried expression. He blinks rapidly.
Look, this assignment is over, okay? You've got to get out of here.
No, I'm not done.
It's straight from Schuster. You're through.
As he holds her gaze, Russo's expression hardens before she walks away. Corky turns to Brick's briefcase. He opens it, pocketing the evidence bag with the Night Vulture watch in it. Corky removes Pop's file from the evidence envelope. It reads sworn testimony against Pops Romano, New York City, New York. As he flips through the file, Corky's eyes rove over words like kidnapping and murder. He closes the file, staring off in disbelief. Now he stands at Pop's bedside.
Well, I did it. I got your evidence.
You did?
Yeah, only you know what? I'm thinking about giving it back.
What?
Kidnapping? And murder? What did you think? That I just wasn't gonna figure it out?
Corky, I've been involved in my share of scams, but I never done none of those things. That's bullshit. You gotta believe me.
Why? Why would I believe you?
I swear on your mother's eyes, I never done those things. Where did you get this?
It's right. It's here in, I don't know specifically where, but it's here in the sworn testimony.
Pops, check out the Caldones on this broad.
Testimony. Testimony by who?
Testimony? They got the evidence? Hey, Petey, he got the evidence!
In the sitting room, Russo pulls a photo album off a shelf and looks through it. She turns a page, eyeing a picture. In the bedroom, Leo looks through the testimony file, flanked by Peter and Polly.
Good job, kid. Yeah, I knew you had the grapes for it. Tell you what, I'll get rid of this.
Wait a minute. Not until I get some answers here, because there are some serious accusations in this file.
Please, Corky, since when you give a damn about anything having to do with this family?
Corky, let the adults talk. Come here. Now, you've done a good job. You got the evidence, but you don't belong here. So go home.
Peter slips money into Corky's pocket, then shoves him toward the exit. Pop's shoulders heave as he turns away. Corky hesitates, then walks dejectedly down the hall. Peter, Leo, and Polly gather around Pop's bed.
Oh, yeah, we are back in business.
Corky pauses in front of a painting of him and his brothers, who almost completely cover him. Through glassy eyes, he stares at the painting where he peers over his brother's shoulders. Corky's face hardens and he steels himself, heading back toward Pop's room. He stands confidently in the doorway.
Let's talk about
what you still doing here. But you got some puppies to breastfeed or some shit like that?
I'm not going anywhere until I'm damn well ready, because I am sick of being your lapdog.
Ooh, the other sister's standing up for herself.
Corky grabs Polly and forces him to the ground. He grips him in a chokehold.
I'm as much a part of this family as either one of you. I put my life on the line. I kept Pops out of jail. I paid my dues. Now you start showing me a little goddamn respect.
All right! You're a part of this family. Now get off of me.
Corky releases him.
You want to try that with me, you little pussy?
Peter raises a fist.
Don't you touch him!
Pops, you're going to get excited.
Shut up. I'm already excited. Now leave your brother alone.
Oh, sure, Pops. Take his side. You always do take his side.
What are you talking about?
You sent him to college. You never sent me to college. You showed that nurse more respect than you showed me. I saw you teaching her how to read. You never taught me how to read, which is why I still don't know how to read.
Don't be ridiculous. Of course you know how to read. I see you with magazines all the time. Penthouse, Swank, Hustler.
Peter shoots his father a look, and Polly shakes his head.
Oh, shit.
You remember that? That time I got arrested at Tony Roma's for exposing myself in the ladies' room? I thought it was the men's room. But what about the time that Uncle Leo sent me to the store for a carton of Marlboros and I come back with a carton of tampons? Feminine products! You thought it was funny, right? I was upstairs in my room crying.
Corky's brow furrows.
Don't stare at me like I'm some kind of a freak, because I'll tell y'all something else. He's a homo!
Polly points at Peter. He looks at Pops, who gapes at him. He shifts his gaze to Corky, then back to his dad.
I'm not Pops. I love movies.
Oh, bullshit! You got a collection of mesh tank tops? You got a poster of Matthew Perry up in your bedroom? You got Divas Live on DVD, for Christ's sakes. You are one big faggot.
Well, at least I can read the labels, you illiterate mook.
Take it back, you Fruit Loop.
Oh, yeah? You want me to learn you how to spell dead man?
How about some of this then?
Corky steps in between them as they pull guns.
Oh, stop it! Just stop it! Ooh, help me, I'm gay. Ooh, I can't read. I don't care how gay you are, and I don't care how stupid you are. Get over it! Okay? Get over it. Huh?
Corky breaks into a grin, and the three brothers hug.
I can't read. I'm a fag.
All right, everybody out of the room. I need to speak to my father. Alone.
Really, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, too.
Peter and Polly leave.
Corky, look at you. Taking control of the family. I never thought I'd see the day.
I never thought I would either.
You know what you look like just now? Your mother. Your mother was the glue that held this family together. You've got the same instincts. I see a lot of her in you.
Corky walks over and sits on the edge of Pop's bed.
Is that why you sent me away?
You know what? I sent you away because I love you. You're not cut out for this business. You're cut out for something better. And you proved that.
I just wanted to be part of the family, just on my own terms.
You are part of the family. You're my son.
They share a long look and a smile stretches on Corky's face. Pops reaches out and pulls his son into an embrace. Pops pats Corky's back and hugs him tighter. Corky has tears in his eyes as they pull apart.
For what it's worth, I believe you didn't do those things. And I think I know why they think you did.
In the sitting room, Polly sits on the couch as Peter leans on its back. Polly looks away abruptly as he almost makes eye contact with his brother. Leo heaves a sigh, sitting in a chair nearby.
Peter! Polly, come quick! Dad's having a heart attack! Leo, call the doctor!
The brothers run after Corky. Leo crosses himself. FBI vehicles loaded with officers and riot gear with rifles roll up outside the gates to the estate. Corky, Peter, and Polly enter the sitting room somberly.
He's gone, Leo. His last words, Leo. He was calling out for you. Now's your chance to make your peace.
Leo walks past them, patting Corky on the shoulder. Outside, Cox and Darnell stand with Brick.
I'll let Vasan steal the evidence. He's been in bed with him since day one. Just hope he hasn't killed Russo yet.
God, I haven't been on a raid in 10 years.
Schuster grins.
All right, ladies, I'll be ready to rock and roll.
Inside, Pop lies in bed, eyes closed and motionless. Leo kisses his forehead, then sits on the edge of the bed.
Look, Pop. I may be a liar, and I may be a coward, but all I ever wanted was a shot at running the business.
I'm sorry I gave you a heart attack, you old jerk.
I just wanted you out of the way.
Oh. He lays his head on his chest.
But I swear to God, Pop, if you were alive right now, I'd tell the feds that none of the shit I said was true.
The brothers listen.
I swear on my father's name. That rat bastard.
Pops opens his eyes.
Oh, jerk, huh?
He reveals a wire. Corky aims a gun at Leo.
Sorry, Leo. Just looking out for the family.
Corky, you set this up? And now you're going to arrest me? Ha! That's a laugh. You're the biggest pussy in the world.
Don't you ever call my son a pussy.
You know, I can't believe we trusted you, Leo.
Russo aims a gun at Corky.
So now you're giving out lectures on ethics?
Russo shows a picture of Corky and Pops.
Yeah, I know that one.
So what are you? A Fed or one of them?
I'm one of them. I was pretending to be a Fed.
Because
I didn't think my father deserved to die in jail.
So where did I fit into your little plan?
Polly points a gun at Russo's back.
I may be illiterate, but I'm not stupid.
Brick aims at Polly.
Freeze.
Peter adds to the line, aiming a gun at Brick.
Who the hell are you?
Brick Davis.
Oh, freeze, Brick.
Several officers in riot gear enter with their guns raised.
Freeze! Drop your weapons down!
A standoff ensues. On one side are Corky, Leo, Peter, Polly, and Pops. On the other side, Russo, Brick, Cox, Darnell, and Schuster stand with the other officers. Leo shoots Darnell, who pulls the slug from his bulletproof vest. Leo runs and Corky chases after him. His brothers have their hands up. Leo bursts through an upstairs window, losing his gun in the gutter as he rolls down the roof and lands in a bush. Corky steps through the broken window and slides down the roof. His gun catches in the gutter with Leo's before he falls to the ground. Inside, officers cuff Peter and Polly.
Russo, you want to tell me what the hell's going on here?
Sir,
what's
these
going
men,
on? The guy that did it just run out of the room, and you're standing here in your orange tie wondering what's going on.
Sir, Corky went after the real criminal.
I knew it. Corky's one of us.
Cox and Darnell high-five. Outside, Corky chases Leo down the long driveway. He runs over a car and leaps onto Leo, knocking him to the ground. As they get to their feet, Leo looks around, then pulls a garden light out of the lawn. Electricity sparks from its broken cord. Corky spots another garden light. Yanking it from the lawn, he swings it at Leo, but the cord doesn't break, and it comes up short. Corky ducks as Leo swings at him while continuing to yank on his cord. Corky dodges another blow and Leo swings at him again. The light's cord breaks and Corky knocks Leo to the ground with it. Brick comes up behind Corky with a gun.
Better face facts, little man. Your luck just ran out.
Want to tell me what time it is? Mr. Night Vulture?
He holds up the watch.
I'll take that.
You know, I never thought I'd live to see the day that an FBI agent would be peddling smack.
Don't act so surprised. J. Edgar Hoover used to wear a dress.
Just tell me why, Brick.
I don't know. I suppose it made him feel sexy.
Not Hoover, you!
I think it's time to get on with the meeting.
What meeting?
The meeting between your genitals and this knife.
What's going on?
He's the Night Vulture.
What? Corky, watch out!
Leo gets to his feet. Corky and Russo exchange a nod.
Liam!
Russo strikes Brick between the legs, and Corky does the same to Leo. The officers move in with Schuster, Cox, and Darnell.
What the hell are you doing?
Brick is the Night Vulture.
Two officers bring Brick to his feet.
It's true, sir.
Oh, God, Howard. Take me away. Oh.
My God, Corky, that's two you've given us today.
No, sir.
He turns to Russo.
That's two we've given you.
Well, looks like we have more to look forward to, huh?
I'm afraid not, Howard. I got other plans.
Corky and Russo share a smile.
Let's go.
Darnell slaps Cox's behind.
Let's hit the gym.
Outside a large church, a group applauds as Corky and Russo emerge. He wears a tux with a colorful bow tie and she wears a wedding dress and veil. As the bride and groom face each other, Peter gives an urging look. The couple kisses. Polly grins. Cox and Darnell clap side by side. Uncle Tony smiles and Schuster nods approvingly. Corky and Russo join hands as Pop steps up to them.
Corky, you made me so proud of you. I love you.
I love you too, Daddy.
I got an announcement to make. My son here, this big lug, he's a fruit. And I don't care who knows it. Come here, you gay bastard. I love you.
I love you.
Peter, Pops, and Corky hug.
The other one, he can't read a stop sign. And I wouldn't have it any other way. Come here, you freaking retard.
Polly hugs Pops.
Corky, get out of here before I punch you in the mouth.
Okay, yeah.
Corky kisses Pops on his forehead, then heads off with Russo. Corky steps toward Dr. Kipper, who holds up a set of keys.
Hey, Corky, good luck with the vet business.
I know you're going to do just fine.
Dr. Kipper, I will never forget you.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Corky and Russo exchange an excited look. Russo pauses by the car, then flings her bouquet backwards into the crowd. Peter catches it. A man in the crowd pulls his sunglasses down and gives Peter a flirtatious look. Peter smiles.
L is for the way you look at me. O.
The words just married are written across the back of Corky's yellow convertible. With soda cans tied to the bumper, the couple drives off.
Very extraordinary.
Fade to black. Audio description by Deluxe with funding by Disney. Voice by Tansy Alexander.
Love is all that I can give to you. Love is more than just a game for two. Two in love can make it. Take my heart and please don't break it. Love was made for me and you.
Thank you.
Thank you.